All right, everybody, welcome to a brand new series that we've entitled Change Your World. And before we get into this series, I just want to share with you, want to highlight a couple things, or just really one main thing, and that is that this coming Saturday, I hope many of you have marked your calendars. In fact, I consider this Saturday one of the biggest events of the year, and that is that we get outside of our four walls. We deploy our small groups. We don't just meet in huddles, but we get out of the walls and we serve the community. And so I want to encourage all hands on deck this coming Saturday. That's July the 12th. We'll be here at 9 o'clock. We're going to go into the community. I even got a call this morning from one of the community leaders here in the College Down community as we're preparing, getting everything ready for Serve Day. And so there's going to be some opportunities to serve some needs in the community in the way of some yard work. There's possibility of some door-to-door helping with the community as they're trying to get the word out on some things that are happening. And they got some things made up for us to hand out. There's also some opportunities for some nursing home ministry. And so if you'll just show up next Saturday at 9 o'clock, I got a day of vacation from my work to do this, all right? And so it's important. I need you here. I need you to meet me here at 9 o'clock next Saturday morning. I know there's a team that always meets here for prayer at 9 o'clock. We encourage them to come and pray. And if they want to come at 8 o'clock and just pray ahead of time, that's good too. But we just want to make sure we're putting, this Saturday is about putting legs to our prayers, okay? And it might be some prayer walking going on as we're doing all this, all right? And so we just want to love on the community and be able to make an impact and change our world. And that's really what we're talking about in this series. So everybody excited about Saturday, right? All four of you. Everybody's excited about Saturday. Everybody's going to be here. Shout it out. Some of y'all are scaring me. I hope it's not me, my wife, and a pitchfork standing here saying I am happy. All right, so I need your help, guys. Come on. We are the church, but we can't do it alone. We need each other, and we need to come together, and we can do amazing things as we come together. As we enter into this series, I just want to say that really I believe that this series is really a continuation of last series. We did a 7-part series on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's work in our life, involvement in our life. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit is not just to bless you. Can I get an amen? Well, maybe this part you'll amen. The Holy Spirit has come to bless you so that you'll be a blessing. All right? And so it's not just about the upper room. It's about the street. After, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, where they went out on the street and 3,000 people came to Christ. Okay? So there was an empowerment in the house, but it was to go out into the street and have an impact, and the world was changed because of it. And the fact of the matter is, there's this question we got to ask ourselves, and that is, does God expect us to impact our world? Or do we just sit passively by and watch the world change and watch the world do its thing, and we just are kind of observers on the outside, kind of along for the ride as to what the world's agenda is? Personally, I believe that we have a responsibility to impact our world. In fact, we are in, what we call a culture shift, very much like the days of Daniel. When Daniel was in an evil society, there was a shifting of the culture, and it was happening, and really what that culture wanted it to do, they wanted that culture shift to happen within God's people and then mold the God's people into something different that looked like the world. That's often happening today, but we need a church shift, right? We need to make sure that we're not being impacted by the culture, but the culture is being impacted by the church, right? So I want to begin very quickly by looking at the first, and please refer to your message notes there. There's also binders in the back if you need to grab one so you can keep these message notes. I encourage you to do that and so that you can study further on this topic. From Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 19, I love this. It says, "You are to influence them Do not let them influence you. And that's an Old Testament verse, and here's a New Testament verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that says, the area of influence, and I just love that, the area of influence that God has assigned to us is to reach you. But our hope is that your faith increases, our area of influence may be greatly enlarged so that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you. And what is it saying there? It's saying that there's an area of influence that God has assigned to us. And there's an area of influence that God has assigned to you. And let me just personalize this here for just a moment. That is that we're not here by accident. I don't believe that. I believe God has put us where we are for a purpose. And specifically speaking, as a body of believers, God, some years back, spoke to me specifically. I wasn't even in this state, y'all. I was in Florida, in college, Florida State University, studying music education, figuring it out my own way. And God laid this on my heart to come to this area and to plant a church. And I believe that God has an assignment for me to do. Guess what? I still believe. I was in prayer last night. God reaffirmed to me, hey, guess what? You're still on assignment. And God has a calling for each one of us. And the Bible even says that his calling is without repentance. And God gave me a vision. Now, I know that a vision, it needs a fulfillment to that vision. In fact, the Bible says that, and speaking of a vision, it says that though the vision tarry, it will come to pass. And sometimes God has given us visions, and there may be some tarrying, but that doesn't mean that there's not going to be a fulfillment of that. Paul said, there's set before me a great door, an effectual door. It's a great door. It's a great opportunity. But, he says, but there's many adversaries. But that's okay. There are many adversaries, but in God's time, God will fulfill his will in our life. I mean, look at Israel. Israel had an assignment. They had a promise from God. But 40 years later, they began to come into the fulfillment of that. And even in doing so and receiving that, there was a fight that had to happen. And I just want to say to Crosspoint this morning, God's placed us here. And I just feel like David, who came upon that battle where his brothers were sitting there kind of observing on the outskirts, kind of seeing what was going to happen and not really engaging when the Philistine giant, you remember, Goliath come along and intimidated the armies of the living God. And David stood up and said, what's going on here? And this is what David said, is there not a cause? And I've got to say to somebody, is there not a cause? And I'm just going to answer myself, yes, there is a cause. And the cause is souls. The cause is eternity. And it's worth our effort. It's worth our patience. It's worth our labor. It's worth our sowing. And I'm believing that in time and due season, we will reap if we don't grow weary and we don't faint along the way, but we have faith in God. We're going to reap a great harvest of souls. Amen. In fact, last week when we had our encounter service and we had the cross here and we nailed the needs to the cross, I nailed the same one I nail every time. And I write, if you wonder, you know, I know those are anonymous. We're not going to divulge who's who, you know, and you don't write your name on them. But I'll tell you, when you see the one on there that says, a great harvest of souls, that's mine every time. That's written on the concrete right here while we're getting this building built. I just want to reaffirm that today. God's given us an assignment here. We are not here by accident. And I thank God for his faithfulness. Let me just explain. There's been many lives that have been changed. There's great personal stories that we've experienced over the years, some that you know about, some that you don't know about, some that I don't even know about, that God has changed. And we're thankful for those of you that have been reached and impacted, but that's not the whole hope. Look at that scripture again. The area of influence God has assigned us to is to reach you. That's part of it. But our hope is that your faith increases. Our hope is that you are reached, and as you are reached, that you start growing, and that your marriage gets better, and your family gets better and you get better and you're just better. Things are better and we even like you better, you know, and you're sleeping good at night and you're growing and your lives is changed. But here's the thing, that's not the whole hope. That is not the whole hope. It says, but our hope is that your faith increases. That's part of it. Look, it goes on to say that our area of influence may be greatly enlarged. Greatly enlarged. And it does it in there. So that we may preach the gospel in lands beyond you. So what this is saying is the goal is that we be reached, that we start growing, but together that we are on an assignment and together that our influence will be greatly enlarged so that we may preach the gospel beyond ourselves. And that's the reason for the church. Can I just press a pause button right here and just park here for just a minute? That's the reason why we are a church. We want to impact others. In fact, that's why we've redesigned Sunday morning so it's not about us and our Bless Me Club and us four and no more and we're having church and we had a good time and we felt good, we got blessed, we went home, but nothing else happened. We're designing this service so that we can impact people's lives. That's why it's important for you to show up on Sunday morning. You know why it's important for you to show up? Well, because I need God and I need to get a blessing. Well, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. It's to be a blessing because we're designing this where it's not about you, it's about others. And if it's about others, that is when you show up on Sunday morning, you're not just saying, well, you know, or when you get up on Sunday morning, you say, well, do I need it or do I not need it today? I don't know. Do I need to go or do I not need to go? Well, there's a problem in there, and that's you're saying, do I need it or do I need to go or what do I need? And it ain't about you. You go for others, amen? Am I okay here? You go for others. It's not about you. It's about others need your influence. And guess what? We all have influence, negatively or positively. You're going to influence somebody. Like it or not, you are sowing every day you get up. You are sowing seed. Good seed or bad seed. You know, you may be sowing corn or you may be sowing wheat. I don't know what you're sowing or tares, but you're sowing something. All right? So our area of influence, it's so important. It's why the church exists. God gave us an assignment. He gave me an assignment. And it's reached you, and together we grow so that our influence as a church also grows. That's why we need to get out of the wall Saturday. That's why we need to have serve day. That's why we need to impact somebody. It's a miracle, really, that we're here today. You ask those that have been on this journey a while with us, can I get a witness? It's a miracle that we're still here today. But the fact that we're here and the fact that it's a miracle that God has placed us in such a strategic location for ministry. Because, look, I've been at some churches where you had to find them. They were on the other side of the railroad track, down around the corner, down past, you know, and there it was, and nobody knew where it was. God's placed us like a city on a hill that cannot be hid for a reason, and it begs an answer, why? Why are we here? And I believe we need to look at it this way, and that is, well, look at what God's done, that's great, look at what we've done, that's great, but it's more than just that. I believe that to whom much is given, much is required. Let me put it to you this way. God never gives you influence for your own benefit. He never blesses you for your own benefit. It's because God has something in mind. And God has entrusted you with something you didn't earn yourself, but it's for a reason. God is still up to something today, church. And he's given us a place of influence. And we need to steward, get this, the influence he has given us. And that's what I've entitled today's installment of this, and that is the stewardship of influence. How are we supposed to use this effectively that God has given us and wisely? I heard a story really occurred back in 1975 with two generals, great generals of the faith, Laura Cunningham, the founder of Youth with a Mission, you might have heard of that, YWAM, and Bill Bright, the late Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. They happened to be in a city, the same city at the same time, and they decided that they would meet for lunch, and they had a lunch appointment scheduled. But in the middle of the night, before they were to meet, God gave both of them a vision or a dream from God. And so the next day when they met, Laura said to Bill Bright, she said, "I have something to share with you. God gave me something." And he said, "That's interesting, because God gave me something too." And they had both written it down, and when they pulled out their paper and began to compare their notes, they found out that it was exactly the same, and it was confirmed to both of them that God was speaking to them. And what God gave them was that society, our world, is influenced by, they called it at that time, seven mountains. Seven mountains, they are also called mind molders. Seven principles or seven principalities or seven controlling parties that control everything. And six of those seven, honestly, are currently under the power of darkness, by and large being used to advance the kingdom of darkness and influence the culture. And they had a strategy. The strategy didn't necessarily work that well, but it was a vision given from God. And I believe the vision is still alive. In fact, I brought this book because it reminded me, as I heard this story of, I went to a conference some years ago, a pastor's conference, and met Sunday Adelaja, a pastor that God picked up out of Africa and put in the Ukraine and to pastor a church. And he came up with basically the same list that God had given him. And he wrote a book called Church Shift. Church Shift, the culture shifting, but the church needs to shift. And shift in making sure that we're not just doing stuff that's just for the church, in the church, about us, but instead we need to have a paradigm shift where we are actually shifting so that we're affecting the culture around us. And let me just give you this list that was given. It's there on your notes. You can fill this in. These seven streams of influence are these. First is the church. The church. Now, people have different ideas of the church. Some think that the church, the religion, a relationship with God, that's a private matter. That's something that should be kept to yourself. It's separate part of society. It's not supposed to be a part of our society. That's something separate. You don't talk about that. There's a separation of government and state. But can I just tell you something? The separation of government and state was not to get the church out of the government. It was to get the government out of the church. Nothing could be further from the truth. We need to be involved in affecting and influence our society. Can I get a good amen on that one? Come on. The second one, the church, one's the church, and the second one is the government. We know what that is. Those are involved in affecting the policies of the day in our land, the government. And then there's the third one is arts and entertainment, that area of influence that has to do with the arts or with fashion or with sports. Actually, Sunday Adelaja had the sports as a separate one all by itself. You know, go soccer, go football, go basketball, whatever it is that you're into. But that area of influence. And then there's the education stream of influence, education. In our education system, we're sitting right across the street from an education system that's honestly, folks, is impacting the world. Last I checked, there were students across the street from every county in North Carolina, every state in the United States, and 100 foreign countries, okay? But the reality is that years ago, when some of these universities were established across our country, many of them were actually church-based, biblically-based principles by which they operated, but since then, it has shifted. It has shifted, and now it is full of a whole different mentality, a very, very liberal mentality, and just different approaches where God is almost really expelled from the classroom. And we've seen that in our country. That's the honest truth. And then we also have the the stream of influence of business. That's where you work. That's where you operate. That's, you know, that business world. And then another stream is media. And, of course, that's TV, radio, magazines, the internet that influences. And then there's another stream, and that is the family. Sunday Autology actually had this as family, and also your social realm, their friends and network, but your family. And we also know this, and studies show that over the last 5,000 years, whenever of study, over 5,000 years, how old are we? How old am I? I'm not that. 5,000 years, guys. It's interesting how we come along and we think that, you know, we've lived a few years and so we know it all. Here's something that's studied over 5,000 years, and it shows that in 5,000 years, where the family crumbled, so did the society. All right? So the family has a huge, huge impact. And here's the thing. If this is true, that our society is affected by these seven streams of influence, then it's important that these areas be strengthened by the power of God. The fact is, God has placed you where you are for a reason. And here's what I've heard it said that maybe Bill and Bride and Laura Cunningham didn't quite get, and that was that there were seven streams, but they might have seen it a little bit off, and that is that the church is the center of all this, and there's spokes of the wheel. The church should be the center of that stream that actually infects the rest of it. Are you following me? And so the church is the one that really has the hope of influencing the others, because six of those others have been greatly taken by the power of darkness and is affecting our world. But what would happen if the church would be so strengthened by the power of God as the center of spokes of a wheel that our impact of everywhere we are would impact and would change the world? The local church has often been said as being the hope of the world. And that is that we're serving in all of these areas, and that we're not just going out into these areas saying, hey, turn or burn. We're the church and we got the truth. Let me tell you what you need to be doing. No, that's not what we need to be doing. We need to be loving and serving and blessing and impacting and influencing the world for good, so that they turn and say, what's with you? I want to know what you got. All right? And so, but the local church has often been said as the hope of the world. And I believe that we can change the world. But today, here's what I want us to realize. It's not just the local church. It's this. The local church mobilized is the hope of the world. The local church sitting behind four walls doing the same old, does not affect the world. But the local church mobilized is the hope of the world. So get this. Take the area that you're in and let the principles of the kingdom of God affect how you operate wherever God has placed you. Matthew 5:13 puts it this way: you are like salt for the whole human race. Salt does what? Salt makes it better. It makes it better. So it's not us saying, turn or burn. No, it's us blessing. It's us being a blessing. It's not us pointing and screaming and saying, get it right, get it together. No, it's us being a blessing. I heard of a church who actually had an opportunity to go and minister in a prison. And the person ministering in the prison said, you know, I think we need to do more. And he went to the pastor and he said, I think we actually need to live stream our services into the prison. Furthermore, I think we don't just need to be there on Sunday. I think we need to be there 5 days a week, or six, 7 days a week for that matter. We need to be taking what we're doing, and it's a church that's doing what we're doing with the growth track and with the dream team and all that, and said, I think that needs to be happening in the prison. It just needs to be happening there. Let's just bring the church there. Let's let the church be the church within that prison. And so they were allowed to go in and to do that. And the warden of the prison found such a change that was happening, and it was actually making a difference. And he came to the pastor of that church and he began to thank him for what they were doing. He said, man, I didn't do anything. These guys, that's their gifting. That's what God's called them to do. And they're just doing that, and we're thankful. But then the pastor thought to himself, kind of prompted by the Holy Spirit, that to ask, is there anything that we can do for you? Do you have any needs? Is there any way that we can serve you? And the warden said, well, a couple of things. We've got a lot of violence in the prison. It'd be great if we could just get these guys to get along. And the second thing would be our rate of return. About 50% after they're released come back. It'd be so great if we could improve that. And so they put a plan in place, and we'll see what we can do with that. And so they put a plan in place, and they begin to have small groups and begin to teach character principles and begin to do a study of the Proverbs. And the warden came back, and he said, what did you do? He said, I don't know, what did I do? He said, what did you do? He said, there were such measurable differences. Nowhere where it needs to be, but there's such measurable differences. And it was changing everything just by being salt and light and helping pour into these men. Not coming in there saying, hey, we got it together, guys. You know, you guys, you're in prison. You messed up. This is what you need to do. No, begin to love them. Begin to show that somebody cared. And it so impacted them that this guy over the prison of the system of the entire city said, look, I'll tell you what, you can have them all. There are 16 prisons in the city. You can have them all and just go into all of them. And God just opened that great door out of effectual doors so that they could minister. And I just want to tell you, we need to be asking the question, how can we serve? Not, you know, move out of the way. You're all going to hell. Let me tell you why. No, we're here to serve you, and we need to be asking the question, how can I serve you? Matthew 5 and 6 says this, let your light so shine that others will see the good that you do. They'll say, man, well, you're doing something great here. Why are you doing this? And look, and will praise your Father in heaven. So that they'll say, how can I know your God? So we need to understand, how do we steward our influence? I got three important questions I want to ask today. Simple questions, and that is, the first question there on your sheet is the question, why? Why? We're on page 2. I'm like Paul Harvey, page 2. Why? I got two answers. I mean, why do all this? Why? Why is this important? Why do this? The first answer is this, and you can write this somewhere if you like it, like to on your notes there. I got some spaces there for you. First of all, God likes it. That was profound, wasn't it? God likes it. I mean, God really likes it when you love his other kids. The Bible says that God so loved the world. You know, some of us think God's looking at us as a church and he just loves the church. And he does. But he just loves the church. And boy, don't they have it all together, aren't they? And those heathens, I wish those heathens could just get it all together. But the opposite is true. God gets a glimpse into what we're doing here at Cross Point, but his eye, get this, his eye is on the lost. He'll leave those that are found, and he'll go after the lost. His mind is on the lost. He's distracted by the lost. He's thinking about the lost. He loves the lost. Why? Because he lost something. He lost his children, and he's trying to get his children back. If you've ever lost something, you don't glory in what you have, but you're all about finding that thing that you've lost. And God's about finding that one that he lost, and he also loves those that help him in finding the lost. God loves it. He likes it. And let me say this, he likes it more than the songs you sing. And don't stop singing. We want you to sing. Matt's saying, come on, church, sing. We need you to sing. Sing, worship, and that's good. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Sing. But can I tell you, worship is more than just a song. Worship is your hands and your feet. So that when you go out and you serve and you bless somebody, and you see, because God, he needs your help. God needs me? Yes. Because you are his hands and his feet. He's chosen you. He's asking you to be his hands and feet. So he wants to get that person. And sometimes we just want to pray these prayers where we just kind of in our closet. God, just go out there and do it. Just send your angels. send your angels. Miraculously, God, let a light fall from heaven. Zap them on the head. You know, turn them around, God. And we're the answer to our own prayer because God's saying, I sent you. How will they hear unless they be sent, right? Right? So God sends us. He deploys us to be his hands and his feet. Hebrews chapter 13, 16 says this, don't forget to do good for others and to share what you have with them. These are the kinds of sacrifices that please God. God wants to do it through you. Mother Teresa said, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Why? Because God likes it. There's another reason. It's your destiny. It's your destiny. If you're breathing air, if you're sucking air, if you're still on this planet Earth, God has an assignment for you. Otherwise, He'd have saved you, zapped you, took you to heaven, but He left you here. And He wants you to live the life that He intended for you to live. Ephesians 2 and 10 says this, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God wants us to do something. If you're going through life and you're just going to work, coming home, eating supper, going to bed, getting up, going to work, coming home, eating supper, go to bed, go to work, and you can't believe it's Monday already, and that's your life, and it's boring. And I tell you, here's what I got to recommend to you. Find a purpose that's beyond that. And God has a purpose for you, and it's right actually where you're at, where you are. That's where God has assigned you, and God has a purpose. And when you discover that purpose and what God's designed you to do, and you fulfill it, I'm going to tell you, it'll change your world. It'll be, guess what life will be? It'll be fun. Fun. It'll be fun to go. All right. But why don't we? Why don't we? Right there on your road, there's needs all around us. But we're going so fast through life, we don't stop and realize there's needs all around us. And we have influence, and yet we're not affecting, because we're not stepping out and doing what God's called us to do. I was talking to my family this week about, wouldn't it be cool? Because we were talking to Bob, we're putting in a new rail system back here. Have anybody seen them clearing that out? Kind of near where Tony and Penny are living now. There's a new rail system back there, and they've got this high-speed rail system that's going to go between here and Raleigh. And I'm like, wouldn't it be cool if we had like one of the, I got the family looking it up on the internet. I said, find out where the fastest train is. I think it was Japan, over 300 miles an hour, Here to New York City. I looked up how many miles to New York City. 2 hours. Let's go, isn't that cool? Wouldn't it be cool to have some major, and you wouldn't go to the airport and have to wait, and, you just kind of hop on this thing, and wouldn't that be cool? And I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking the faster, the better, And then I looked, how fast does the plane go? The plane goes about over 600 miles an hour, most up, average. So that's about half the five times faster than a car, half the time of a plane trip. That's cool. That'll work. Here's the thing. That's our mindset. We're jet set. But when you're in a plane and you're flying over a city, 600 miles an hour, you don't see much detail. You're just flying. There goes the city. Whew, the whole thing went. But when you drive in a car, it's the wife that says, "Stop, let's look at that fence. Are you kidding me? I want to get there, It's like, let's look at the details along the way. Look at that. There's a goat. Actually, we went riding this week. There was one. I said, look, there's a goat. There's a goat. There's a goat. Sometimes we fly through life so fast, we miss each other. And here's the thing. Hurry is the enemy of love. Hurry is the enemy. We're just too much of a hurry. We need to pause and realize there's needs all around us. Why don't we do it? We're just in too much of a hurry. So look, why do we do this? Because God likes it, because number two, it's your destiny. And let me ask another question. Where do we do this? Where do we do this? Here's the answer. Your world. Your world. Next week we'll be talking about a little more about this, about your sphere of influence. You need to be here next week. It's going to be awesome. Listen, God never asks you to do something He doesn't gift you to do and give you a passion to do. He'll place you in places where you can be of great influence. What has God called you to do? And God will allow you to do that. I'm up here speaking. I'm okay with it. And y'all know that. I like to speak a while. I'm going to do better today. I promise. All right. Well, I'm going to sort of promise. All right. I am. I'm going to do better today. Y'all didn't even like that comment, did you? Y'all just want me to get on with it. I didn't promise my family going to be quick. All right. But listen, my wife, she does not, don't ask her to get up here and speak. In fact, if you're in a small group, don't put her on the spot and ask her to speak. You know, just if you're, let me just encourage our small group leaders. If you're in a small group, just those that want to speak, let them share. Don't go around and go, you next, next, next. And then you do this disclaimer. Well, you could say skip if you want to, but then you feel, then those that can't speak, they feel embarrassed. Like, everybody's speaking, I'm not speaking. I would say, she wouldn't want to get, I'm embarrassing her now. I'm just saying. Some of you, I'm all about this. I could speak and share all day. Some of you think about getting up here and you would throw up. I throw up just at the thought of getting up there. I can't get up in front of people. That's okay. God doesn't just call you to do something that you can't do. God's going to call you and he's going to gift you and he's going to empower you for what you can do. My wife does. She breaks it down and I'm like this. I'm throwing seed. My wife's talking to people individually. He said, I sent this to somebody this week. I shared this with somebody this week. I'm encouraging this person. I'm praying for this. See what I'm saying? Everybody's got a different gift and a different calling. But your world, look at Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2. The Lord said to Moses, what is that in your hand? And he says, a staff. And God said, throw it on the ground. In other words, whatever God's given you to do, start there. And you know that staff became a big part of the story. Galatians 6 and 4 says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. What does that mean? All right, when you go home today, do good. Start there. If you go out today to a restaurant, start there. Right? Do good there. And when you go to work tomorrow, do good there. Am I going too fast? Are y'all getting this? Wherever God has you, do good. When you go out to that waitress today and she gives you bad service, instead of you saying, well, you were at 10%, now you're at 9%, now you're going down to 8%. No, why don't you be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit speak to you and share with you that that person has a need in their life and begin to share with that person. Take an act of kindness card. We still got them around here. Grab you one. Connect her to God. Connect, you know, and begin to, and guess what? And then give a honking tip. You know what a honking tip is? That's one of those tips when the waitress says, are you sure you meant to leave this much? And bless somebody. And make a difference in somebody's life. Right now at my work, we got inspectors in at our work, and they're doing, I mean, they're top to bottom, but they're watching every. Do you like to work when somebody's standing there like this watching you? And then when you move, they move and to your next spot, and they watch you, and they follow you all day long. Isn't that? That is so fun. And you know what I started doing at work? I just started smiling real big. I looked over to a coworker. I said, and you know what? The other day he yelled at me. He said, Theron. He said, what do I do? I started influencing just with a smile, you know, just change the culture. I mean, something went wrong the other day. I said, now this is fun. And one of the inspectors looked at me and said, you are a sick puppy. That's what he said to me. Make a difference. Come on. My wife actually coined a phrase at her work, and it's called be nice. Be nice. In fact, somebody finds out she's my wife. Oh, she's the nicest, sweetest person. Be nice. Okay. Make a difference. Helen Keller said this. I love this quote. I'm only one. Helen Keller. You know who Helen Keller is? Okay. I'm only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do. That's what we're going to do on Serve Day. We might not be able to do everything, right? But we're going to change our world where we are. Why? Because God likes it. Because it's your destiny. And then where? Right where you are. Don't try to change the world. Change your world. And if we all change our world, guess what? We'll change the world. Number three, how? How is your blank there? How? Be sensitive. I'm going to tell you how. Number one, be sensitive to the Spirit's prompting. We just finished a series on the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompting. The Holy Spirit didn't just come along to make you feel good. The Holy Spirit came along so that he'll have your ear, and you can hear what he's speaking to your life and begin to use you so that when that waitress comes up giving you bad service, you'll hear the Holy Spirit say, there's an issue there. She's got a problem. Ask her if you can pray with her. Right? And guess what happens when you come out of a place like that and God's used you? I mean, you're going to walk out of there going, what else, Holy Spirit? Bring it on. You know, where else can you send your young, handsome, good-looking Prince Charming to help encourage another damsel in distress, right? Y'all don't laugh. Okay, I know I'm not young, but that other part. Anyway, so really, let God use you. Life is not to be boring. It's to be a life of purpose, and then it becomes a sacrifice of praise. I'm going to give you this. This is real simple, real simple. Find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and heal it. Find a need and fill it. Find a hurt and fill it. St. Francis of Assisi said this, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Don't you love it? Proverbs 37 says this, never walk away from someone who deserves help. Your hand is God's hand for that person. Never tell your neighbors to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. And I love this scripture in Isaiah 58. If you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always, and He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. Heads are bowed. For some of you today, you need a nudge of the Holy Spirit to do something, to be salt and to be light, to make a difference. And the Holy Spirit wants to do that in your life. So, Lord, right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move into our lives in such a powerful way we'll understand and get what this thing is all about. It's so exciting because you've decided to use us and to move into us, and we become the temple of the Holy Spirit through which you can operate and bless other people. God, how exciting that you would consider us your hands and your feet to be salt and light. I'm thankful, Lord. But I pray that you would help us and encourage us. Encourage us, Lord. Not just to be blessed, but to be a blessing. Lord, I pray that. In the name of Jesus. For some of you here today, it's the prompting of the Holy Spirit that's saying to you right now that you're not in a right relationship with Him. And the Holy Spirit's drawing you. And I want to tell you, life can be totally different if you would really just give Him control. Guess what? It doesn't work when you're in control. It does not work. But when He's in control, I'm telling you, life is totally different. Totally, radically changed. Yeah, you'll still have problems, but you have a power to know how to face it and deal with it like you've never known before. And all you need to do that is just simply pray a simple prayer of giving Him control of your life. And when you do that, here's what will happen. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. And He will begin you on this journey where He is changing you throughout life. Some of us need to do that. Some of us have done that, but yet you've taken back control yourself. You've taken it back. And I want us to pray that God will help us to totally surrender to Him. And if that's you today, you need to pray a prayer of giving your life to Him, of giving Him total control, of totally surrendering to Him. Today I want to pray a prayer. I want to lead a prayer here this morning. I'm not asking you to come forward or stand or embarrass you. I just want to lead you in a prayer today. And that's you. And you know that's you. You need to pray. Maybe you've prayed before, but you know that you need to recommit today. You need to give Him control again. You've taken it back. If that's you, would you just slip up a hand before we pray this prayer? I want to know who I'm agreeing with. God bless you this morning. Yes. Who else? God bless you. Anyone else? Just slip up a hand and you can put it right back down. Let me pray this prayer with you. And here's what I want us to do. I want everybody in this place to pray this prayer just to encourage those that are praying this. From their heart, it's going to lead you in this prayer. It's your prayer of faith to the Lord. Would everybody pray this prayer. Just say, Lord, come on, everybody, say it out loud with us. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I give you control. I surrender everything. Forgive me of my past. Give me a new future. Heal me on the inside. I believe you died for me. That I could have new life. Now today, I receive from you new life. Come in and take control. Come on, everybody, pray this prayer and say, I give you my life. Thank you. I receive you now in faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, for every person that's prayed this prayer. And I pray the power of the Holy Spirit take control now, God. I pray that you begin to move our hands and our feet, but most of all, move our heart. That our heart would be your heart, God. Our eyes would, God, be your eyes, oh God. Our ears would be your ears, God. Our mouth would be your mouth, oh God. That we would just be a servant yielded to you, God, that you'd do great things. God, I thank you for fulfilling your purpose today in their lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And Lord, I pray for everyone in this church. Calls us, God, to be the church. Calls us to be your hands and feet. Calls us, God, to have influence where you've placed us, God. Calls us to make a difference, God. And God, if we haven't done that in the past, help us to start today. Help us to be salt. God, let people see a change when we walk into work tomorrow. Let people see a change when we walk in our home today. Instead of the old attitude and the old comments and remarks, God, everything's new and fresh because, God, you're living in us, God. You're breathing through us, God. Do a work in us and through us. We pray for your glory, for your kingdom. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give him praise.